Rewire for Wealth. Step 7. Program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. Behavioral patterns and belief systems downloaded especially from parents in the first years of life become automatic to operate without observation or awareness. Neuroscientists estimate that about 95% of our behaviors and core beliefs are pre-programmed in the unconscious mind, operating on autopilot. We rarely ever observe these behavior patterns and beliefs because they're unconscious. Then we may create two stories simultaneously. The surface story that we run our lives with conscious intentions and aspirations. This dialogue includes, "This is what I want from life. These are my positive aspirations." Yet this conscious mind is a tiny processor that controls the mind and brain systems only about 5% of the time. At the same time, an unconscious story that ghostwrites behaviors, sometimes in a different direction than conscious intention. Here's how that can sound. I can't get what I want. The system keeps me from doing what I need. I don't have what it takes. Many compromises occur when two money stories are written simultaneously. An example, I would like to make more money, but the parallel story that says, money and autonomy means abandonment from my family of origin. Another dual story, I want to claim my freedom and become totally my own person. Second story, my husband acts like I'm taking it away from him when I'm self-sufficient. Change and transition. The brain is a very efficient machine and doesn't waste energy. Simplicity is to take the path of least resistance, to use neurons already familiar with the task. The brain inclines toward repeating the old story. To think creatively, new neural pathways must be developed outside the cycle of experience. Stimulation for new insight is a circumstance where the brain can't predict what will happen next. The catalyst for insight is a novel stimulus, new information, or new context. Some summary comments on change and transition. The change is the event, the situation. You change a behavior, move to a new city, have a baby, take a new job. As we focus on change, we address the rituals of change, the work tools, the SMART goals. The transition is the process. It's the internal story of change, a shift in orientation, even self-definition. Transition is attention to the seasonal cycles as well as the daily weather. As you create change and embrace transition, you let go of the old story, the outlived chapter, and evolve into your new money story. This is the P of the roadmap, program new identity to internalize the changes, to sustain and enhance them. Four components of transition. First, every transition begins with an ending. Willingly or unwillingly, an ending. It involves letting go of familiar, habitual routines to establish new patterns. Never underestimate the need and the power of letting go. To do things a new way, you have to end the way you do them now. To become something new, you have to give up some of the old self. To transition to a new possibility, you have to let go of something familiar. Secondly, people in transition will create new ways to return to the old story. We've talked about the mind and brain considerations in change and how to facilitate that change. Every ending is followed by some distress or confusion. We can expect this as part of a transition. Ending, confusion, new beginning. People will resist both the change and the transition. They will return to the familiar. You can reframe this return to the familiar as a way of measuring progress, an opportunity to validate your commitment to move forward. Thirdly, the new beginning involves changing how you see yourself, even aspects of your identity. The impact and meaning of the transition may bear little resemblance to the apparent significance of the change that caused it. This can be confusing at first. Someone can become discombobulated by a seemingly minor illness that shatters an illusion of vulnerability. One person can take the loss of a parent in stride, while another can be devastated by the loss of their dog. And fourth, never underestimate the change-back pressure from the system. Your family, your company, it's their self-statement of reaction to change, an attempt to restore normal order and not do the work of change. A group or system has a status quo bias and inertia, as well as an individual. Jung said that the most important problems can't be solved. They have to be outgrown. Regulating states of mind. 433 people voted on a proposal. It failed. If only 12 of those 433 people had voted yes instead of no, the outcome would have been exactly the opposite. The result? In the next few hours, the stock market lost $1.2 trillion. Here's what one senior equity trader on Wall Street said. You just felt like the world was unraveling. People started to sell and they sold hard. It didn't matter what you had, you sold. This collective tilt shows how states of mind are vulnerable to emotional contagion. This vote on the mortgage bailout in late 2008 crystallized an entire economic scenario of events. Chuck Prince, the head of Citigroup, said, "As long as the music is playing, you've got to get up and dance." Greed, emotional contagion, and peer pressure trump logic. When you see friends making significant profits trading stocks or flipping real estate, the natural inclination is to want in on the action. As more join the movement, prices rise, and for a while it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But then some event reverses the momentum, bursts the bubble, and turns optimism into panic. Herd mentality pushes people to join the momentum, to buy, or to flee the market and sell. People make mistakes and buy low and sell high, either because they don't have a plan or don't stick to it when emotion vaults beyond the fence of that plan. Even when they're financial or economic experts, they pay over $6 for a stock they know is worth $3 twice in a row. They don't suddenly get smart the third round. They learn to regulate. Google Incorporated announced its financial results for the fourth quarter of 2005 on January 31, 2006. The revenues were up 97%, net profit up 82%. Phenomenal growth. Yet Wall Street analysts had predicted even better. Their expectations fell just short of the actual outcome. As a result, Google stock lost $22.3 billion in value in a matter of minutes before trading was halted. Someone's state of mind can change much faster than the underlying value of a corporation. The great investment analyst Benjamin Graham was asked what it takes to be a successful investor. His response, people don't need extraordinary insight or intelligence. What they need most is the character to adopt simple rules and stick to them. So what's the secret hiding in the open? A key internal strategy that can redefine success, the art and science of regulating states of mind, including managing emotions. In my experience, the most significant factor in successful performance. Athlete, money manager, coach, CEO, the most significant factor. A state of mind is a mind-body state, like a specific software program that determines how we perceive and process information and how we respond. A state of mind is a set of particular emotions, memories, mental models, and behavioral patterns. The neuroscience of decision and conflict. You see a car swerving into your lane headed directly for you. In a matter of seconds, your life could be over. As soon as you perceive the danger, you reflexively hit the brake pedal and horn, sharply turn the steering wheel. In a matter of a second, your physiology has changed. You're exhausted, short of breath, heart racing. Emotional chemicals triggered by an automatic alarm reaction change your state of mind to survival. Each thought and feeling has a chemical consequence. The chemicals of emotion alter mind and body. Personal experience determines what software program, what state of mind, to use to process the data, and how to respond. Threat or danger triggers emotional chemicals that hijack the logical, rational brain. At times, this natural survival response is adaptive. But excitement, good or bad, can cause mistaken perception, judgment, and reaction. A hot stock tip, a business deal gone sour, a family tragedy, each may create an alarm state and an emotional state of mind geared more for survival than logic. Neuroscientists used functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, to study the responses and functioning of the brain to various emotional stimuli. These studies and their findings can be used to help us make decisions that are in our long-term best interest. Some additional examples of how, at times, logic takes a back seat in financial decision-making. Brain scans show that when people feel they're being treated unfairly, a portion of the midbrain called the anterior insula lights up and overwhelms the logic of the prefrontal cortex. This is the same kind of disgust that people have when they encounter a rotten apple. Making an example of people such as Ken Lay and the prosecution of other executives for their crimes does not work and will not work from one perspective. If it would be sufficient, Ponzi would have been the last to teach us this lesson. To make an example is an abstraction. That's not how the emotional brain works. When something bad happens to someone we envy, the result is that we may feel good. Neuroscientists at the University of Cambridge found that news of the downfall of the rich and famous activates the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex of the brain. Their humiliation activates this region of the brain that responds to conflict and social rejection. In fact, the study showed that the more we envy someone, the greater the pleasure in his or her downfall. This accounts for our pleasure in seeing a high-powered CEO who earns several million dollars in bonus get humiliated in front of a congressional committee exposing indiscretion or doing the perp walk. When Bernie Madoff got shoved on the sidewalk, be honest, how many times did you rewind? Shopping can change the way you feel. It can be state-changing. When people feel insecure, either emotionally or economically, they reassure themselves at times by shopping. For the most expensive shops on Madison Avenue, one of their best days in history was the day Lehman Brothers failed. When the going gets tough, the area of the brain associated with reward and pleasure lights up when people consider a purchase. The insula, a brain structure activated by pain, lights up when someone thinks about the cost. Both of these brain areas, the pleasure center and the pain center, compete with each other to decide whether you'll buy something. The pleasure center wins hands down when you segment the purchase from the payment, such as with the use of a charge card. The pain of payment is relegated to a theory, to the vague future, an abstraction that presents no present pain. There are exercises in the workbook beginning page 7.2 on life and money balance, the art and science of visualization and affirmation, principles to apply neuroscience to investing, and caveats to live a new money story. Choice enhancement. The following considerations apply to emotions and choices. Increased tension produces emotional regression. With increased tension and conflict, the stress response reaction can move someone into a more emotional pattern, even characteristic of a much earlier age. Secondly, increased emotion narrows perspective. When emotion prevails, focus becomes narrower and more restricted to the most recent event. Paradoxically, attempting to use reason and logic with someone in a highly emotional state deepens the automatic alarm pattern. The escalated person will further escalate, dig in her toes, and spiral into more extreme responses, hurling herself away from logic. Remember, when you're in a state of upset, the first order of business is to regulate feelings, to get centered and grounded. Anxiety is an energy experience. The most effective antidote to anxiety is grounding yourself, transforming the energy by becoming present. Being grounded and centered allows a state of mind for optimum synthesis of thinking with access to existing knowledge. Stress interferes by catapulting someone into a state of mind that narrows concentration and limits the scope and range of thinking. The stress hormones of epinephrine and cortisol even block information processing. When you're relaxed and centered, you have the greatest access to all your states of mind, all the information you possess. The antidote of purposeful relaxation extends energy reserves. After a period of relaxation, both attention and concentration improve. Here is a mini exercise of self-regulation. Psychobiologist Ernest Rossi suggests a 15-minute period of relaxation as a purposeful downtime that enhances performance and restores brain functioning. He reminds that this 15-minute period is not about dozing or doing nothing, which might dull a mental edge, but active relaxation that keeps the mind primed. An example of active relaxation is a guided visualization accompanied by focused breathing. The visualization can be a relaxing moment, a scene in which mind, body, and soul are in harmony. Engaging all the senses in this image furthers the relaxation. For example, if the image is to walk along the beach, engage the smell of the salty air, hear the surf, feel the sand between your toes, taste the air, experience the warmth of the sun on your skin. These mental movies can lead to deep relaxation. As you end the relaxation, re-enter your surroundings calmly and slowly. Open your eyes, mildly contract body muscles, focus awareness on the present moment, on where you are. A quote from a Buddhist teaching: "Return to the earth now if your mind is troubled and your heart is uncertain, for it is by returning to the beginning that we can clearly see the path." Commitment devices. There have been studies on how people self-impose as well as co-create commitments for behaviors they know are in their best interest. We help our children do this. A piggy bank is a commitment device to counter impulsive purchases. Other ways that people counter their own vulnerability and bolster commitment to a better response: some alcoholics take Antabuse, a pill that makes you sick when you drink. In one study, college students were given the option to create their own earlier deadlines for 3 papers due by the end of the semester. 75% of them jumped at the chance. People find ways of saving themselves from immediate cravings. A study at the Harvard Business School looked at the ways people dealt with purchasing want products, non-essentials, and should products, necessities. they would devise ways to put off either purchasing or having delivered the want products to ensure they would do what they should do first. Money stories can incorporate goofy to sublime commitment devices. Freezing a credit card in ice to mandate a contemplative pause before a purchase is one example. Automatic retirement deposits to make commitment a one-time decision is another. Consider how to prioritize your shoulds and reward them with your wants. This reframes wants as part of a performance ethic. It removes guilt and links to performance what you know you're going to do anyhow. And planning is a different scenario than impulsivity. Most frequent mistakes made in writing a new money story. 1. Not knowing that you don't know. How can people know that they don't know something? We believe we know, which blinds us to our ignorance. This in turn causes us to be blind to signs that we may be mistaken. To know to ask is half the answer. 2. Stopping at the first right answer. When we're solving problems or writing a new story, we may stop at the first reasonable action. While this may be a correct strategy, it can stop us from considering other right answers, other correct strategies that could be more effective. Ask yourself, and then what? What else? I'll introduce number 3 with this brief quiz. 5 frogs sat on a log. They all considered their options. 4, however, planned their strategy and then decided they would jump off. How many were left? Well, 5 were left because they only planned and decided and didn't commit to act. Number 3 is procrastination. I'm talking about some of the broad themes here, the big patterns. Putting off an exercise program. Not paying yourself first. Not saving for emergencies. Not saving for retirement. Taking care of others but not yourself. Most of us live our lives as though there were an unlimited amount of time left. We have little sense of urgency, contributing to a lack of focus. When the 2-minute warning sounds in football, a team sometimes achieves more in those final 2 minutes than they did in the previous 28. This imminent deadline, a finite, limited amount of time to accomplish goals, focuses concentration and increases efforts. In our lives, we only rarely have a 2-minute warning. We play as if the notion of finite time is only an abstraction, something we acknowledge but seem not to internalize. Life is finite. It's just that the game clock is invisible. 4. Inefficient energy management. Managing energy is a key to success. This begins with knowing your strengths and limitations, your biological cycles, when you perform best. Know how to enter and exit various states of mind, and which works best for a particular task. Writing and editing, for example, are 2 different states of mind, 2 different parts of the brain, to be done at different times. Cluster activities that require the same state of mind. Identify what enhances your energy. Anticipation, creativity, pleasure, meditation, prayer. Identify what depletes your energy. Toxic people or situations, negative mindset, lack of focus. 5. Ambiguity. If you're unclear about what options are available and don't know what it would be like to pursue them since you haven't done it before, this uncertainty can add to decision paralysis. What looks like resistance can be simply a lack of clarity. People are more likely to change when new behavior is crystal clear, not vague or absent. Eating a healthier diet is both vague and abstract. The possibilities of eat healthier or save for the future are limitless. Where to begin? When you want to effect change, you need to script specific behaviors. 6. Too many choices. Some studies show how an HR department or individual investment advisor can provide too many choices, and the extra options backfire, leading to decision paralysis. For every 10 options offered, the employee's rate of participation goes down by 2%. At some point, choice debilitates rather than liberates, and someone retreats to the default mode of not making a choice. A classic study in decision paralysis was done at a gourmet grocery store. The research project offered a display of 6 jams for tasting. On an alternate weekend, there were 24 jams available for tasting. For both of the weekends, customers were given a coupon for $1 off as they purchased any jam. While the larger display of jams attracted more potential customers, in both cases, people tasted an equal number of jams. When 24 varieties were available for tasting, 3% purchased. When only 6 varieties were available for tasting, 30% purchased. Too many choices resulted in a tenfold decline of actual purchases. With too many choices, we feel overwhelmed and resort to our comfort zone to do nothing. The 7th mistake in writing a new money story: lack of persistence. The truly challenging, courageous part of change is not the initial decision or the initiation of a new order of things. It's the willingness to stay the course. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion. It can cut through the fog like a beacon in the night. One extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach to publish Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. 141 publishers turned down a guy who then decided to publish his book himself and sell it out of the back of his car. It had an unlikely title for a book: Chicken Soup for the Soul. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. Lord Eliot put it very simply: perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. Success is never final. Don't get complacent. Testing is as important as postulating. Test ideas out. Revise them. Make it your story told with your voice. Ross Perot said, "Most people give up when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the 1-yard line." 8. Not following success trails. Have you said some version of the following: I want to change careers, but I don't know what I'd do instead. I want to play a bigger game, but I'm not quite sure what it is. I want to create wealth, but I don't have a plan. A footnote: the lottery is not a plan. Decide how you want to expand. Then pick success trails to follow. Watch someone who's doing what you might want to do. Ask if you can take them to lunch and pick their brain, or shadow them for a day to observe. When my good buddy Art heard that I was transitioning from psychoanalytic practice and had completed my professional coach training, he flew to Houston to take me to dinner. A few years earlier, he left IBM as the lead healthcare industry salesperson in the country to start his own corporation. He told me how he chose 5 very successful people and asked them to lunch or dinner to pick their brains about what he was about to do. He advised me to do the same. It worked for both of us. Some business people with instant global recognition pick his brain for substantial picking fees. Create a support team. Construct an advisory board, a networking group. Engage a mentor or join a mastermind group. The final mistake: believing it is unspiritual to make significant money. There does not have to be a split between spirituality and money. Spirituality and profitability can be quite compatible. There's nothing intrinsically unspiritual about money. It's one of those assumptions like starving artists. Why should someone of exceptional talent have difficulty converting that ability into significant outcome? Abundance, wealth, spirituality, are synonyms. The antonyms, suffering, scarcity, non-spiritual. And remember that wealthy does not automatically equate with worldly riches. Rich and spiritual are synonyms. When someone says, "I'm not in it for the money," I believe that person because I know the experience, unless it's a rationalization for not making much money. When you're truly immersed, passionate, and delivering immense value, this is synonymous with abundant income. It's the result when there is alignment. Having a fantastic experience of bringing value to people and making money are seamlessly interwoven in a spiritual path. You will improve your health by creating less stress, as stress causes the body to be less healthy. You will create an attitude and an experience of abundance, which also enhances wellness. Visualization and affirmations. Detailed outline is in your workbook. Let's look at some highlights. How do you find a yellow Jeep? A group of executives asked me to present a seminar to them on writing a first book. The first thing I ask, have any of you in the last month seen a yellow Jeep? There were 24 people present. One person raised his hand. Then I went through a visualization exercise with them. Let's do it now. Close your eyes and visualize a yellow Jeep, the specific detail of how it looks. Walk toward it. Walk all the way around it. Look at the tires, the body, the trim. Open the driver's door. Look at the seat, the steering wheel, the dash. Smell the interior. Touch the seat. Get in the driver's seat and look again at the dash and through the windshield. Start it. Listen to it run. Feel the vibration. As you turn it off and walk away from it, look again at the vehicle you were just in. Open your eyes. In the next week, see what happens. I asked the executives to contact me if they happen to see a yellow Jeep in the next week. 22 of the 24 executives contacted me in the first 3 days to say they had spotted a yellow Jeep. What happened? What someone sees, what appears on the radar screen, is determined by belief and assumption. A yellow Jeep was pre-programmed as possibility. When you program your system with a visualized goal, you create structural tension in your brain, cognitive dissonance, the difference between where you are and where you visualize and affirm. Your brain then strives to end this tension by actualizing the goal. Affirmations provide the story to support your vision. This structural tension or dissonance in your brain will do several things: give you creative ideas, help you see things you haven't seen before, a perceptual shift, like yellow Jeeps or new possibilities, and provide motivation to take action. Remember, the universe rewards action. For example, if you see yourself in a successful vision, you create the specific imagery to live that experience. You then incorporate it as part of your identity, rather than it belonging to someone else. When you program your unconscious, you actually create a future memory to live into. The brain can't tell who conjured it, you or reality. The more detailed your visual image, the more specifically etched your brain will be. Here's the key. You do not make the brain changes permanent unless you incorporate it into your story. Otherwise, it doesn't register or gets extruded as noise. This may be why 95% of people who diet gain back their weight. They don't reprogram their body image. The key elements are these three. Repetition. The neural networks dedicated to your vision must be renewed and repeated regularly, or they'll be eliminated. Secondly, be very specific about the experience of having achieved the goal. And thirdly, consciously incorporate this new vision into an ongoing story to be ultimately metabolized as part of the self. Otherwise, you'll lose this vision. It's difficult to challenge long-held beliefs because they're part of your identity. A vision, though, starts at the other end, the successful outcome. If someone has a fear of success or a fear of failure, the visioning process bypasses that fear and etches the successful outcome. To achieve a goal, reprogram your automatic pilot by affirmations. Affirmations are positive statements that state the goal as if it has already been achieved. They provide the context and support for visualization. Affirmations make a visualization a complete story. Specific guidelines are in the workbook. To summarize, affirmations reprogram your mind. Visualizations rewire your brain. Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. Major James Nesmith spent 7 years as a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. During the time he was imprisoned, he was essentially isolated and had no physical activity. Before the war, Major Nesmith was an average weekend golfer. He broke 100 by one shot on two occasions. To preserve his sanity, he learned to visualize golf. He selected his favorite country club. He saw himself dressed in golfing clothes. He experienced everything in great detail. He smelled the fragrance of the trees and grass, made each stroke with his entire body. After he was released from his captivity, playing golf in his mind 7 days a week for 7 years, his first outing, he shot a 74. The power of a vision, of mind over matters. An overview of the 7 steps. We've examined in your story money as reality and metaphor, the path as well as the possession, and the power it's given as well as its own power. We've taken a journey to illuminate and change your money story. We've reviewed these 7 steps. Recognize authorship, own your story, assess plot and storylines, decide what to change, map changes, author new experiences, and program new identity. In these 7 steps, we've articulated some of the secret language of money, how some money issues are really about money, and how a bunch of other things hitchhike on money, and how our money stories are a large part of our life stories. These basic steps deconstruct how you write your money story and live it. They're building blocks to revise a money story or write a new one. Engineering effectiveness. Let's review some essentials of engineering an effective new money story. 1. Make changes tangible and concrete. Construct a yardstick or map to determine where you are and where you're going, to be able to measure progress along the way, and to tell what's detour and distraction. 2. Make progress measurable. Demystify the journey. A specific destination with a tangible focus on the next step. 3. Make progress visible. Small, specific, attainable milestones that are visible, with celebration of each small victory. 4. Specify the next step, not abstract or global. Some is not a number. Soon is not a time. Act healthier is not a strategy. All you ever have to do is the next right thing. This shrinks the change to an immediate step of effectiveness and the experience of momentum. The best example of shrinking a task to a tangible next item is Alcoholics Anonymous challenging its members to one day at a time. It shrinks the change to a manageable, foreseeable, specific action. A small target leads to small victories, the cumulative experience of effectiveness and mastery. We have just adopted the scientific method to examine, to measure, to test, to consider change. The scientific method is a challenge. To create a mindset of inquiry generates discomfort, but it also catalyzes growth. Brain imaging studies have demonstrated where the self resides in the brain, the medial prefrontal cortex. This part of the brain lights up when people self-reflect and make assessments and judgments regarding themselves. A very recent study found something I think really important. The more clearly and fully that you can picture your future self, the more money you save for the future. Think about it. The more you identify with your future self, the more your financial decisions have long-term benefits. A review of some guidelines. Listen for the story that the source within you tells. Tell your story in a way you want it to be in order to actualize it. To plan it, map it, and tell it initiates its creation. Whatever you are living or experiencing in any way is a response to the story you're telling. If you want the story to change, you have to change the way you tell your story so that it shifts your feeling and thinking as you're telling it. This means that responses from others are not in that equation of creation. This new telling has to be in alignment with who you are, especially with your needs and ideals, in order to have a complete energy field and a full, purposeful direction of that field going forward. When you practice the story that resonates with who you really are, your full energy and power becomes activated. All of you is going in the same direction. When that occurs, know the direction you're going and the goal and strategies of that pathway. Know that you can keep telling and living a better story no matter how good your story is now. The universe will resonate with and match your story as you live it. A final story. For tens of thousands of years before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, and illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity in the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, and organized. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Stories give birth to possibility. Stories are a way that we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and what will survive you. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. And a final quote. This is from the last page of Live a New Life Story, The Owner's Guide. This may be the turning point your grandchildren will tell stories about years from now. The time you leap over the abyss to the other side of the great divide and begin your life in earnest. On the other hand, this moment of truth may end up being nothing more than a brief awakening when you glimpse what's possible on the other side of the great divide, but tell yourself, nah, that's way too far to jump. In that case, your grandchildren will have to be content talking about what delicious cookies you used to bake or what your favorite sports team was. It will all depend on how brave you'll be. Thank you very much.
This concludes Your New Money Story, Roadmap for Money Mastery, read by the author, Dr. David Krueger, and produced by Mentor Path Publications. We hope you enjoyed and benefited from the presentation and materials. For additional information on the books and programs by Dr. Krueger, please go to www.mentorpath.com.